Welcome to Smart Branding, a podcast dedicated to branding, naming, and domain names. I'm Tatiana Bonneau, and with my guests, we try to help you create and grow strong, memorable, and meaningful brands online. I believe time is one of our most precious assets, and so I want to thank you in advance if you decide to spend the next 30 minutes with us. I promise to do my best to make those worth it. Let's go. So my guest today is Ben Golden. He's the founder and CEO of Plumery, a digital engagement platform for banks and financial institutions. Thank you for making the time. It's a pleasure having you with us here today, Ben.
Thank you, Tatiana. I appreciate it.
Let's start with a bit of a background. Tell me a little bit about yourself. How did you get into the banking sector, and how did you get to do what you do today?
Yeah, good question. Yeah, so I've been around in banking sector for a bit more than 20 years. Somewhere between 23, 24, depends where you start. I got passionate about banking when I was a teenager. Well, actually, I got passionate about technology in the first place. I was super curious about technology and programming. And it just happened so that that I started right away in banking and spent pretty much my entire career building things in banking. Yeah. I think I was just lucky to be always on the forefront of innovation in banking industry. So I do not consider myself a traditional banking technologist, but much more on the innovation side of the things. I was part of building one of the first internet banking platforms back in 2003 or early 2000s, including mobile banking. I had an opportunity to do similar things on a global scale back in 2013. Was part of Mambu's executive team for more than five years before starting Plumery, and Mambu is a leading cloud banking platform, also very much on the forefront of innovation in that space. So that's basically, in short, how I started and why I still continue doing the same.
So before we get into Plumery and what you do there, just on our side of things with smart branding, we do talk a lot about naming and names and domains. Tell me a little bit more about the name. How did you come up with that name? Why that name? And what was the reasoning? There's so many extensions nowadays, different domain names. What was the reasoning to choose the one that you did end up choosing?
Sure. So our name Plumery is derived from a flower plumeria, which is quite, let's say, widespread or popular in Southeast Asia. This is where I first time I've seen it sometime in 2016, 2017. And since then, this name was always my choice, let's say, for the startup that I will build one day. I registered my domain already back then, right? So plumery.com was registered already in 2017, I believe, although we started our business only 2 years ago. And what I liked about Plumeria specifically is it symbolizes a new beginning. It symbolizes great attention to details and beauty, pretty much like a well-created technological platform, right? So when I saw Plumeria flower itself, it really resembled a well-designed architecture with different pieces wired together and forming one beautiful, holistic item unit, right? That's why I decided to call our company Plumeria, just to create a relation between the qualities. Company is called Plumery, to create a relation between Plumery and a flower Plumeria with its beauty, attention to detail, and dedication.
I love that. And it's funny, actually, do you know how many people I talk to on the podcast and generally, because I'm into naming and names, and it's so often the case that people would come across a name that they'll just, oh, that's, I like that. Even if they don't have an idea of what exactly is it going to happen. But I guess entrepreneurs are a bit like by spirit like that. You know, you're going to do something. You have that, I'm going to get to something one day, and that's going to be there. And I really love as well the fact that when people get the domain name matching that idea, it's almost like, okay, I'm committed. Like I'm one foot in, I have to do something with it now. And I also love the fact that domain names, you have to renew them every year. And I've spoken to so many entrepreneurs who are like, okay, I have that idea and I got the name, and then you put it away and you forget about it. And then when it comes time to renew the name, it's like, oh, it's been 1 year, I haven't done something about it. So in a way, it's that little commitment that kind of keeps reminding you that you have to act on it.
Exactly. Well, actually, the funny story is that first domain I registered was plumery.io, just
Okay.
because plumery.com wasn't really available. But then I was so eager to buy it as well. So I found actually the owner and I negotiated the price and I bought it out already back then. Right. So I invested some money into buying that domain already back then.
That's another thing as well, and I think a very obvious example is calm.com, the meditation and well-being app, and I think there are interviews with investors where, because they launched initially on that name and it's quite a statement, you know, it's a one word English word, popular word, four letters .com domain name, it's a big investment for a company that's not even, you know, tested on the market, and investors were saying that shows that you really are committed and really believe in your idea, that you made that commitment. So that's another side of how domain names can show where a business or where idea is going. It's the commitment. It's that. So tell me, what do you do? What do you do at Plumery?
Yeah, so it's a it's a digital experience platform for banking. Essentially, we power up, well, in a simple way, mobile and internet and web banking for traditional and modern financial institutions. We accelerate the journey for them to launch their modernized digital experiences by up to 80% faster at lower costs, but more importantly, with ability to differentiate themselves where it matters the most, right? Giving them flexibility really to differentiate, combined with the speed of acceleration of out-of-the-box capabilities that our platform brings. Yeah, we
so
also believe
that's...
Oh, sorry, just one last thing to mention. We also believe that in today's world where a lot of businesses are transitioning to digital only, it's really important for banks to operate in a similar way to a modern tech company, tech forward company, or digital only company. So one of our missions as well is to pave the way or bring a foundation for banks to operate as a modern tech forward company, even with a little capacity and internal talent that some of the banks, let's say, are challenged with.
Absolutely. That's the thing, because when you said like 20 years ago, 25 years ago, I remember when one of the very first startups I ran, I had, and we were setting up mobile banking, you know, to take payments online. The nightmare that was, I mean, that was just like, you would have thought, okay, we have the internet, you know, everything is like, you already had like different systems to build a website simply online. And at the time I thought, well, that shouldn't be that complex. And actually, like, it was a nightmare. You had to literally physically go to the bank, apply it with some documents, wait for whatever, and like set up some things. Like, it was just crazy. So, and when I was preparing for the interview with you, and I was reading, you know, about what you do, and I was like, do they really exist, banks that are not digital yet? You know, is that still a thing?
Well, no, that's why we generally don't like to call things digital transformation or you know, these kind of things, because in reality, I think we are past the point where banks are transitioning from non-digital to digital for the first time. So our mission is not exactly a first transition from non-digital to digital, but rather help them modernize what's been built. Mm-hmm. Because in a digital space, expectations of customers are changing very fast, and technology evolves a lot, right? You can look like a little bit like an iceberg. So things that are behind the scenes, like core banking systems, so on and so forth, these systems evolve much slower, and it's much harder to replace them. On the contrary, things that are on the glass, things that are very close to a user, they, by nature today, because of, let's say, a digital society, these things have to evolve much faster. And like this layer has to really leverage all the advancement in the technology, both on the architecture side, but also on the actual things that matter to end users, right? Anything from generative AI to just a much better look and feel, much more convenient interfaces to interact with the bank, fully digital onboarding and things like that, right? And that evolution happens regularly. It's not a one-time thing. It's not like you've done that once and it's over, right? And you can stay with that forever. The advancement is quite fast, right? The pace of advancement is very, very fast. So banks have to innovate and modernize every several years. Right. So that's our mission.
Yeah. So it's an ongoing thing. Like when you have a client, you stay with them, you know, well, for a long time, you manage all that for them.
Yeah, exactly. Our goal is to make sure that with our platform, banks can stay relevant and up to date always, right? For the foreseeable future. Not just once. It's not a snapshot. It's not like they can buy a platform, they can modernize, and after 3-5 years, they have again the same challenge. No, our mission is really to avoid that challenge and make sure that banks are relevant and competitive and staying on the most recent technology continuously.
And you just said that, I would summarize it as a mistake some financial institutions and banks can make, which is thinking, you know, because you did that once, it's good, you know, you're there, you're okay, you don't have to innovate, you don't have to follow what's happening, what's the latest thing anymore. So I would say that's an obvious mistake. What over your career in the space and now with Plumery, what do you feel are other common mistakes that entrepreneurs make in your field?
You mean specifically banks, right?
Mm.
Well, I think today banking still lacks a little bit more of a modern product management practice where they would really pay enough attention into understanding their user much better. We talk about hyper-personalization a lot, but this typically comes as an afterthought, right? It comes already after something is implemented and as an additional capability rather than being a part of overall DNA of how banks operate, right? And I think it's important. If you do not understand really what are the pains of your customer, what is important for them, you can't really build a great digital product. But moreover, back to the previous point, it's always an experimentation, right? It's always based on some sort of assumptions. That's been long time ago understood by most of the successful digital companies, but it's still not a common thought in banking, where banks typically believe that they can perform a good thorough analysis upfront, spend like 3-6 months, maybe even longer, analyzing things and putting requirements in place. And then once they implement that, they tend to stop improving that for a while. But if I compare that to any successful digital business, and you can name any of them literally, Uber, Netflix, Spotify, just literally any of them, they would deliver improvements sometimes 1,000 times a day, right?
Absolutely,
anything from tens to thousands times a day, based on what they learn continuously, right? And that learning is really continuous. They see.
I don't think they stop at any point. I think there's all the time, like they're testing stuff, and even because we have an international team, oftentimes we would be talking about something, and we realize we're seeing different things on the same websites, and it's because they're testing stuff all the time. Like there's constant improvement going on.
Yeah, exactly. And I still do not see that to be a common practice in banking. If we look at the first version of Spotify that was released, comparing to what it is today, it's like day and night, right? Two completely different applications. It was so basic, it was so ugly. But then they started to improve it so fast that nobody even remembers that anymore, right?
Mm.
But in banking, I wouldn't call out specific names, but I'm using.
I think everybody listening has a name in their head now.
Exactly. Well, for sure. I'm using one traditional bank, and I'm using their interface, and that interface looks exactly the same as it used to look 10, 15 years ago.
Yeah,
nothing absolutely. Fundamentally changed. All right, they are adding small things here and there, and Well, banks, because of their nature, they call this innovation, right? They might add a specific new multi-factor authentication, or they might add a chat, and that already considered to be an innovation, which it is if you compare to the previous version of it. But if you compare that to successful digital companies, it's still day and night, right? So there's still
Absolutely.
a lot to catch up, and a lot to make banks truly digital, aligned to expectations of today's society that is mostly driven by what they see in other applications, right?
Absolutely.
I often like to say, so just last point. I often like to say that today consumers compare banks to other applications on their mobile phone, right?
Absolutely.
So bank is just yet another application on a mobile phone. And if you don't like your music application or your I know, meditation application, what do? You just remove it and you install the other one and you try it, and if you like it, you keep it. Banking is kind of moving to the same direction with a new generation of people.
Absolutely. No, I completely agree with you. And you know what? It's funny because we re well recently last summer we moved to Ukraine from France, and the banking here, I was like blown away. It was literally what you just described. It's like any other app. Like I was able to set up my bank account in seconds. The things I can do, like with, you know, I had cards for the kids. I could send them, you know, manage their finances. I can pay with my phone. I can, or just like even with my face. So it's just so much like more advanced than what everything I had in France. It's just, and I was thinking, why not? Like it's exactly what you said. It should be like that everywhere. It should be like just another app with all the fun actually things, not just the functional things that go with it. And
Right.
yeah, it's probably what you mentioned with the iceberg, that it's so hard to change and build on that foundation that's been, you know, stuck for so long.
Exactly. And I think countries like Ukraine or Southeast Asian countries, some of the countries that didn't have developed banking for many years, and it started to emerge only, let's say, 20, 25 years ago, are more privileged in that sense, right? They do not accumulate. They didn't accumulate a legacy, first of all, organizational, not only technological, right? It's also a lot of organizational legacy, and the way corporate operates. We are talking to some banks that are 250 years old, 150 years old. These banks have a long standing culture in there, how they take decisions, how they go about innovation. And these are not the things that can be changed very easily. Whilst the countries like Ukraine, as I mentioned, right, and other countries in Southeast Asia, they are kind of starting a little bit from scratch, often, right? And they don't have that legacy, so that creates much much better opportunity, really. Less things to unlearn, as we say.
Absolutely. Yeah, definitely. And you can see that in other sectors as well. Yeah, definitely. One thing I want to ask you, because as I was looking, you know, your name, domain name, your overall presentation, like your social media, everything is like really well done and really consistent and like, yeah, generally well done. That's a compliment. And a lot of
Thank
people
you.
I talk to, they when we talk about domain names, they say, oh, branding is not important to us because we're B2B. You know, that's not we don't deal with end customers. So what are your thoughts on that? You are a B2B brand.
Yeah, well, I think people buy emotion, whether that's B2B or B2C, that doesn't quite matter. And your brand represents certain things, right? It creates certain feelings, creates certain emotion. And your brand is the first thing that communicates about you. You often don't get a chance to talk to your clients or prospects, and the first thing they see is your brand, is your name, colors, language that you use, right? And these things communicate a lot about who you are, how professional you are, what's your take on risks versus innovation. Are you bold or are you very conservative? All these things are actually communicated by your brand in a broader sense. That's why we took it seriously from day zero, actually.
Absolutely. Yeah, and then I think that's a good point for people to consider. And definitely, yeah, I mean, I am amazed that I still hear that, but honestly, I hear that a lot. Like, we're B2B, branding doesn't matter, presentation doesn't matter. It's like, you're B2B, you're still talking to people.
You are, and right. If you only intend to sell to a very handful, a very small number of customers, just a handful of customers that you know well, and you don't plan to scale, and you don't plan to kind of get yourself known in the market, maybe then yes, all right. But if you do plan to scale and grow, and you do plan to make yourself known to people you never spoken to before, then I think brand is very important.
I think actually, yeah, you made a good point there. It's actually not even that much about B2B or B2C. It's about your vision of where you're going. If, yeah, I mean, definitely, if you're gonna have like 10 clients and that's fine, and you're fine with that, you know, for the rest of your life. Yeah, you don't even need a website, I guess.
Exactly.
Yeah. How has artificial intelligence changed what you do? And I would imagine, I know we've started, like, everybody started talking, and everybody is an AI company now, and you know, everything since like the past 1.5, 2 years. But in banking, I think, and in a lot of other sectors, in finance especially, artificial intelligence has been around for before that, before it got that mainstream. But like, now that it is, how has it affected what you do?
Well, actually, you are right that AI was available in banking for a while, but it was always very contained, just because the industry is heavily regulated and all the decisions needs to be traced back, and you can't just rely on a machine to do decisions for humans, right? So it was always there, but was more in the advisory role, basically creating some additional insights and informing the decisions rather than making the decisions. This actually becomes even stricter these days because of advancements of AI. There are recent regulations, especially in Europe, that actually forbids using AI for decision making, for the automatic decision making. Right? That makes it a little bit more, well, I would say the adoption of AI in banking because of that maybe a little bit more contained, right? It's still happening for sure. It cannot be ignored, but it's quite contained. We see interesting things happening because of generative AI. That is, I would say, just became a mainstream quite recently, right? In the last 2 years. And there is a lot going on in that space. And that obviously something we are working on already as well. Things like conversational banking, things like personal insights and advisory to customers. These are great opportunities where generative AI could be used. But there are obviously other areas as well.
Great. And what, last question, what are you looking forward to? Like, what's next? What's on your plate now that keeps you excited?
Well, it's a good question. So we just finish our SME banking capabilities. We're going to announce it soon. So that's great. We are excited to see how we can impact the, I think, still most underbanked sector, right? If we see a lot of developments in the consumer banking space, SME is somewhat still a little bit underbanked and over, yeah. Overlooked. So that's one area that is exciting for us specifically. As you already mentioned, AI, we are still watching the developments because every 2, 3 months there's something exciting and new happening in that space. And I'm sure we'll leverage that opportunity and we'll do more stuff. We are working on exciting things in embedded analytics where AI will play a significant role. In predictability and deriving meaningful insights from the data. So yeah, lots of great stuff ahead of us.
Wonderful. And that was a lie about the last question, or more like I forgot to ask one that I wanted to ask. You mentioned regulation in Europe, and we know that it's always been, you know, more regulated market. Who can work with you? Do you only work in Europe? Do you work internationally? Who can reach out to you?
We work internationally. Our platform is designed intentionally to be agnostic of nuances and regulation of individual regions. We obviously do comply with regulations that are global, or at least meaningful globally, like DORA regulation in Europe or GDPR. But other than that, we are a horizontal platform, means for things that are very specific for one or the other region, we have strong partners who provide a little bit more vertical capabilities like identity verification or AML and KYC, things like that.
Wonderful. Great. Well, that's been very insightful. Thank you very much for your time. We'll include all the ways people can reach out to you in the comments to the podcast. And I wish you a good day. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Tatiana. Appreciate that.
Welcome to Smart Branding, a podcast dedicated to branding, naming, and domain names. I'm Tatiana Bonneau, and with my guests, we try to help you create and grow strong, memorable, and meaningful brands online. I believe time is one of our most precious assets, and so I want to thank you in advance if you decide to spend the next 30 minutes with us. I promise to do my best to make those worth it. Let's go!